WRKC is proud to present a new weekly drama, The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our second episode, No Fury.
Things were going slightly better around the office. Deborah, my secretary, actually decided to do some work in reward for a meager paycheck. But for some reason, all week she seemed hell-bent on making my working environment a little more frustrating.
Pick up your feet.
What?
Pick up your feet.
Why?
I'm tidying up.
Well, could you tidy up when I'm out? You know, working or something?
Well, I'm not doing anything right now, and who knows when you're going to decide to work again. Looks like a wild boar runs this office out. That's actually not that far off.
I was too preoccupied to listen to Deborah's endless complaining. That curator case last weekend was my first real case in a long time. It also happened to be my first real paycheck as well. You ever hear the expression of tasted blood and I want more? Well, that's exactly how I felt. I loathed the work, but I loved the money. I was daydreaming about when we'd pick up our next paycheck when I saw the silhouette of the officer from the museum fiasco in my doorway. Deborah, why don't you go show that man inside?
All right, but then I'm coming in and tidying up this pigsty.
Not while I'm taking a possible case.
Well, what do you want me to do?
I don't know. Just go file some paperwork or something.
Hello? Hello, detective?
Yeah?
May I come in?
By all means.
Oh, thank you. Ooh, whoops. I'm really sorry.
Don't be. My secretary can...
Not while you're with a client!
Well, just leave it be. What did you want to talk to me about?
You remember my partner? The man who drove us both back?
Oh, yeah. Frank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good kid.
He's dead. We were supposed to be...
Hold that thought. I reached down into the lowest drawer of my desk to pull out a bottle of gin and two glasses. They didn't seem like much, but they were the most hallowed earthly possessions I had. I poured for Officer Spinelli and me, and we toasted a fallen friend before we got into the details. Now then, what happened?
We were supposed to be on duty together when it happened, but he called off. Said he and the missus were going to get together for something. I didn't ask any questions.
Missus?
Yes, sir. Sweet little thing named Anna. She's an amateur actress or something. Anyway, Anna went to pick up some ingredients to make her award-winning Cornish game hen and pickled pig's feet loaf, and when she came back, the place had been broken into and he was dead.
What was the motive? Robbery?
No, everything was accounted for.
A vendetta, maybe?
Maybe, but something doesn't seem quite right to me.
All right, you can tell me the rest of the info on the way down.
You can figure this out, right, Detective? I just can't think straight. Last month my wife left me and now my partner murdered.
We'll find out who did this. Deborah, could you come in here and clean this up now?
I'm filing papers!
All right. Hand me that broom. After a half hour of sweeping up glass and porcelain, Officer Spinelli and I took a trip down to the scene of the crime. Spinelli said the boys in blue didn't seem to think they were able to do as much as they should. No matter how they felt, they were doing a pretty good job interrogating Frank's recently widowed wife, a cute, insecure girl who barely broke 30 years old and 5'3".
So, Mrs. Mulligan, you claim you were out shopping when this happened?
Yes.
Did you get to see the perp before he ran off?
No, not a good look. He was a tall man and...
Ma'am, I know this is hard for you, but we're trying to gain information to try and bring your husband's murderer to justice.
Sorry.
Her story checks out. The grocer can vouch for her.
All right. I think we've got more than enough here. Thank you, ma'am, and we're sorry for your loss.
I scoped the place out for clues. It was all there. The shattered pane of glass from the window, the shell from a .22 caliber bullet, signs of a struggle. The perp attempted to jimmy the lock to get in, but failed, so he took the window, probably anxious before a kill. I talked to the coroner, a man named Thaddeus. He was a tall, thin man who wore a beat-up suit and a hand-me-down hat. Good tie, though. I came up to him with a 20 in my hand and a smile on my face. Hey, friend, what can you tell me about all this?
Not much. Pretty cut and dry. The assailant shot the officer with a 22 in the chest. The angle is right for a taller man, but it wasn't a clean hit. I'm thinking the assailant didn't have much experience with guns. Does that suffice?
Yeah, that'll do just fine. I had information, now all I needed was a perp with a motive. Spinelli said that he and Mulligan were pulling down some heavy hitters lately. Drug lords, hitmen, muscle, even kingpins. The only info I had about the assailant was that he was tall, bad with guns, and he was out. I went to the newspaper office to dig up some fresh dirt. Luckily, I knew one of the reporters.
Harry! I haven't seen you in here in months. How have you been keeping?
Sorry, dollface, no time for pleasantries. Can I get some of the latest issues, Carolyn?
That's all you care about, isn't it? The damn paper.
Carolyn, we talked about this. Until I'm done detecting, we can't be together. Now please, for our love, show me where those old papers are.
All right. Come on, Harry.
Carolyn and I love doing that in the bullpen. Truth is, Carolyn and I grew up together. We'd been fooling people with gags like that for years. Trouble was, the gags seemed to be getting more genuine. I put the thought behind me and filled her in on everything.
So you need to find a man who's tall, bad with guns, was put away by Spinelli and Mulligan, who just got out of jail?
That's about the size of it.
Impossible. You want me to remember everyone they put away? Their entire criminal histories and their current jail statuses? I'm not a miracle worker, Harry.
Well, thank you anyway.
It sounds like Jimmy the Foot.
You're amazing, Carol. Wait, Jimmy the what? She handed me a stack of papers about Jimmy the Foot. Apparently, when you want someone to take a hike, you hire the Foot. He rarely used a gun, always liked to use his hands. Spinelli and Mulligan caught him in a drug deal as an enforcer, but the court couldn't pin anything on him. He was out in a month. I tracked him down to a little inner-city shoe store, Jimmy's Converse's handmade shoes. It seemed innocent enough. Carolyn told me that Jimmy had a thing for shoes. Maybe he was on the straight and narrow. Eh, he'll never make it as a businessman if he was. And I had a sneaking suspicion that he wasn't.
Welcome to Jimmy Converse's handmade shoes. Can I interest you in a new pair of fine handmade shoes today?
No, but you can tell me why you killed Frank Mulligan.
Frank Mulligan? That Officer Mulligan. Sorry to hear it. He seemed like a good kid. And I gave that up after I got out, honest.
Face it, Jimmy. You're the only one who fits the general description of the killer, who's out right now, can't shoot for his life, and I'd wager you've got a .22 kicking around in here.
What?
I said, face it, Jimmy. You're the only
No, just the last part. About the gun.
What, about your .22?
I don't own a gun.
What?
I don't own a gun, and if I did, it wouldn't be a .22. I don't need guns in the first place, but buddy, I'm a man. I wouldn't use a pea shooter like a .22 if it was my life. Now, if that's all, I'd kindly like you to leave my shop. Unless you want to buy a fine, handmade piece of footwear.
I was ready to use a more convincing method of conversation when suddenly it hit me. It couldn't have been Jimmy, and I had the idea that I knew just who it was. And if I didn't act fast, Officer Mulligan's may not be the only corpse headed to the morgue.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of No Fury, but first, a word from our sponsor.
I swear, honey, I was out bowling with my buddies.
Then which one of your buddies was wearing the lilac rose perfume?
Jerry?
Uh-huh. And where's the car?
The bowling place.
How many times has this happened to you? Whether caught in the act, suspected, or just being interrogated by the cops. Everyone eventually has to come up with an alibi. And sometimes, those words just don't come fast enough. That's where we come in. The Alibi Hotline is perfect for anyone looking for a quick getaway. Use it for any occasion.
I missed an important meeting to visit a girlfriend down in Brazil, but the Alibi Hotline told me how to get out of it without losing my Senate seat.
I didn't do my homework for math, and the Alibi Hotline sent a note from my mom. Thanks, Alibi Hotline.
I was pulled over for speeding, but luckily the Alibi Hotline was ready to vouch that I was having a baby any minute.
Yes, no matter how big or small the need, we are on call to deliver only the best alibis. Our program is also tailored to your price range. Our most basic plan is simply a good idea for the low, low price of $19.95. For $20 more, you get the accessorized plan. The alibi complete with one witness and ticket stubs, medical records, and other small helpful props. For $80, we'll provide the silver plan with an extra 3 witnesses and larger, more complicated props. The gold plan is our best deal, providing up to 40 witnesses and any manner of prop, including dead relatives. Who's going to say you're in Bermuda with a piña colada when you've got great-great-aunt Petunia's entire funeral attendants ready to vouch for you? All of this for the low, low price of $300 in unmarked bills. You remember our unfortunate bowler? Let's try it again with the Alibi Hotline.
I'm sorry I'm late, honey. There was a crash on the side of the road, and I stopped to help.
Your husband saved 11 people tonight, 4 of them children.
Oh, honey, you're amazing. But where's the car?
While he was saving a 70-year-old grandmother, his car was hit by some swerving drunk. Probably a communist. That's why I, the fire chief, brought him back. Because he's a hero.
This is why I hate communists.
Yes, the Alibi Hotline can make your life better for a price that can fit your budget. When someone points the finger at you, just say that you were with us. Call us at 1-800-WASN'T-ME.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
The pieces came together, and finally it all made sense. From the beginning, I'd been looking at it all wrong.
You're going to leave me alone and just stand there with your mouth hanging open?
What's that?
You done with questions?
Yeah, it wasn't you. Sorry for
You need any shoes?
No, mine are just
Then get out of here.
Thank you for your time.
Out.
Have a nice day and...
Don't trip on your way out.
As I drove back from Jimmy's shop toward the late Officer Mulligan's home, I went back over all the pieces to be sure I wasn't making a horrible mistake. But I realized nothing else made sense as I swung into the driveway and took out my piece. There were no cars in the driveway and no sense in being careless. Hello? Anyone home? The door was locked and I didn't feel like climbing through the window, even if it was already broken in. And, seeing as the house was already in shambles, a broken lock wouldn't be too much of an added problem. I took a moment to gather my strength and kicked the door in. Ugh! The place looked the same as it had when it was crawling with cops around a sobbing widow. But now I was alone and had a bit of time to snoop. Officer Mulligan's body was gone, but nothing more had been done. The window was still smashed, and several pieces of furniture hadn't even been put back upright. Searched their desk quickly and the kitchen even faster. I went promptly to the bedroom and started going through drawers, hoping to find some kind of an answer. Nothing but a pair of bright red stiletto heels that I couldn't quite imagine Anna Mulligan wearing. I was making my way through the closet when I found a woman's coat with an empty box of .22 ammo and a piece of paper with an address. Officer Spinelli's address. I sped away from the house like a bat out of hell. Clearly someone upstairs was looking out for me, because I made the 20-minute drive in 7 without crashing or being pulled over. Two cars were parked on the street already, so I swerved up onto the lawn. Maybe Spinelli'd forgive me for that someday. The door was unlocked, and I quickly let me and my .45 in.
Flynn!
Spinelli was lying on the ground with a short, unintimidating woman standing over him with a tiny .22 held in shaky hands. The recently widowed Mrs. Mulligan had apparently already shot Spinelli in the shoulder and the thigh, and he was bleeding badly. She held the gun on the downed officer and gave me a glare cold enough to freeze hell.
Drop the gun, Flynn, or I'll finish him off and take you next!
Not happening.
Drop it now! I'll do it!
Damn it, I just couldn't get a word in edgewise today. All right, no need to get jumpy now. I only had to look in her eyes to know she was just desperate enough to do it if I didn't cooperate.
Good. Now step back 5 steps and get your hands above your head. Perfect. Not a move out of you.
She had me backed against the banister to a staircase, going up without anything even resembling a weapon in arm's reach. Of course, Anna, I'll just stick right here.
Exactly. Any trouble from you and I'll plug you both. Cooperate and I may just let you live.
The possibility has me all aflutter.
Don't trust her!
Don't you ever shut up! I should finish you right now.
Like you finished your husband?
Spinelli, this may not be the time.
And your friend is a smarter one, copper. Keep a lid on it.
Like hell I will.
She shut him up with a pistol whip to the head. Between the blood loss and the sudden impact to his temple, it would have taken a skull like an elephant's to stay awake. I couldn't tell whether he was still breathing and was somewhat distracted by Anna's pistol suddenly pointed at me. You know, this is the second time this week I've had a woman point a gun at me. I don't like it.
I'm sorry to hear that, but I won't be too much longer. My driver will be here any minute, and then I'll be gone.
Are you shooting me, too?
I haven't decided yet. Stay on your best behavior, and I might not.
I'm sure before you leave, you'll have forgotten I was here to stop you.
Very cute. Now shut up!
We waited in silence for her ride, or for her to decide to just plug me. The pistol was pointed straight at my head, and from that distance she couldn't miss. It was still just a little too far away for me to try anything. So, Mrs. Mulligan.
What is it now?
Why? I understand going after Spinelli. If only your husband is dead, you're a suspect. But if his partner happens to die the same day, then it's someone with a vendetta against them. But why kill your husband?
Are you trying to trick me?
Not at all. I just don't want to die wondering. I mean, you were smart enough to break the window, and I'm guessing you tried to jimmy the lock. That way anyone would assume it was a break-in. Even using those stiletto heels to make it look like it was done by a taller man. But killing your husband? I don't see how that pays off.
Fine. He was on the job all the time. It came first before anything. I should have known before I married him, but like a stupid little girl, I agreed. So we fought, every day. We fought over breakfast and fought over dinner. I just wanted my husband to be there. I wanted us to have a life together.
So you killed him?
He was going to leave me. He was going to leave me with nothing. I heard him talking with his partner about getting a divorce. It would leave me with nothing. But he had a great life insurance, which I cashed today. So I go from a poor divorcee to a rich widow. I will not be another man's pawn again.
You heard him saying he was going to divorce you? In those words?
Not exactly, but he was always talking about divorce. Divorce, divorce, divorce! That was all he talked about with Spinelli.
A month ago, Spinelli's wife left him. Look at him. He's still got his ring on, and he's been all torn up about it. They were talking about his divorce!
But...
You murdered your husband for nothing!
Shut up! Shut up!
I suddenly lunged forward and hit her on the side of the head with my fist. Not with all my strength, of course. I hated myself even for the light hit. She fell to the ground and lost hold of her gun, but was still fully awake. and angry.
You brute! How dare you hit a woman?
With all respect, I think the rules are a bit different when the woman's got a gun.
Right, for a big, strong man like Detective Flynn. I bet you're not nearly man enough to take someone on your own size.
Hey, now, I've fought men who could have picked me up with one hand.
Hands behind your back, now!
Damn! Nothing ruins my resolve like an upset woman. And this upset woman apparently had another .22 stowed in her purse, because I was looking down a barrel again. At this time, there was no point in playing nice. I lunged forward to take the gun from her, and I heard a bang at the same time that I felt a bomb go off in my stomach. Stumbled back while pain racked my entire body. Gasping for air, I fell back against the banister.
I warned you, and now you get to join the other two. Hands behind your back, or you'll get another.
She took a pair of handcuffs from her purse and walked toward me with them. Everything was getting hazy, and another surge of pain went through me. Started to jackknife over, and she punched me in the stomach and pushed me back up to stand. She turned to my side and handcuffed my hands behind me. Then she stood in front of me, smirking.
And this is the end of Daring Harry Flynn. Such a pity.
You made one mistake.
And what's that?
Should have stood further. The last of my strength, I swung my head forward, hard. No holding back this time. My forehead cracked into her face and the world went black.
And then you woke up here?
Exactly. All wrapped up in a hospital with a headache two sizes too big and a hole in my gut. But all things considered, I'd rather wake up in a hospital than in lockup like poor Mrs. Mulligan.
That is quite a story, Harry.
Just be sure it doesn't make its way into the paper, Carolyn.
And Officer Spinelli is?
Recovering two rooms over, unless the nurse was lying to me.
So, another day in the exciting life of a detective. Maybe I chose the wrong profession.
You ever been shot?
Of course not.
And yours is better than mine.
So, after you recover, what's going to happen?
Well, then I talk a beautiful reporter into helping me sneak out so we can go for a drink.
Sneak out? Are you sure that's a good idea?
Hey, if you don't agree, I'm gonna have to find a different beautiful reporter.
I'll grab your coat.
Come on, let's get out of here.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, No Fury, was written by Brandon Leon Gambetta and Lucas Tomasacci. Our cast today was Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn and the Lying Husband, Brandy George as Deborah, Anna, and Woman, Drake Nestor as Cop Number 2, Thaddeus, Alibi Man, and Child, Elsbeth Williams as Carolyn and Concerned Wife, Mark Zurich as Cop Number 1, Jimmy the Foot, and Senator, and Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Officer Spinelli, Cop Number 3, and Fireman. If you'd like to write or perform in The Adventures of Harry Flynn, find us on Facebook.